Good morning. Just before I start, I just want to take a little time to recognize the mothers in my life as well. I was sitting back here and I said, well, I'm going to be standing right up here so I can do it as I start. But for just want to say thank you, Loretta, for how you've helped Janice and everything that you've done for us. And I moved down to 98, and obviously my mother has passed away. I moved down to 98, and I have an adopted mother here. Sally still calls me her son. She says thank you for she says that I'm her son, and she prays for me and takes care of me, make sure I get cinnamon rolls, you know. So, but I'm thankful. Thank you, Sally, for how you've looked out for me since I've moved down, and most of all today, I'm thankful for my wife. And I heard this week. She said, how is it that you can be sick and you still have to keep on with your job? She caught a bug this week, and yet she still continues to take care of the children. They're there. She's with them all day long. And thank you for being a good mom to our children. And like Dawson, I think I got the best. So, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And thank you for being a good mom to our children. I just want to say to each one, each of the moms sitting here this morning, the example that you are as a mother, as you come to the church here, the example you are to, as you all pull together, work together, and leave an example, you leave a great example. I think each one of us today, if we would stop and think, there's things that our mother has taught us, and maybe a lot of things that we've caught from our mother as we've grown up. As I was studying, I read a list of things, and it says, I saw the heading, and it kind of caught my attention. It said, what my mom has taught me. And I typed them in. I'm going to read those this morning. It says, my mother taught me religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, you better pray that stain will come out. My mother taught me logic from her decisive words. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me stamina. You'll sit there till those lima beans are finished. My mom taught me about weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. And my mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have a wonderful mom like you do. There's a saying that says, motherhood is the ultimate reward and the ultimate sacrifice, all in the same breath. There's a story of a teenager who didn't want to be seen in public with her mother because her mother's arms were terribly disfigured. One day, when her mother took her shopping and reached out a hand, a clerk looked horrified. Later, crying, the girl told her how embarrassed she was. Understandably hurt, the mother waited an hour before going to her daughter's room to tell her for the first time what happened. When you were a baby, I woke up in a burning house. Your room was an inferno. Flames were everywhere. I could have gotten out the front door, but I decided I'd rather die with you than leave you die alone. I ran through the fire, wrapped my arms around you, then went back through the flames, my arms on fire. When I got outside on the lawn, the pain was agonizing, but when I looked at you, all I could do was rejoice that the flames hadn't touched you. Stunned, the girl looked at her mother through new eyes. Weeping in shame and gratitude, she kissed her mother's marred hands and arms. So, children, sometimes you look at your mom and maybe you're embarrassed by what mom says or does, but there's probably a good reason, and there's always love behind that. This morning, I'm going to talk on a mother called by God, and I have 3 points that I'm going to touch on. And the first one, we're going to turn to Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. and I was going across the title for a long time trying to figure out what title I was going to put on it. And I had on, first of all, I started out with how to be a successful mother, and I quick took that off because I said I'll lose all the ladies because they'll say, you don't know how to be a mom. So, but a mother called by God completely submits to God's will. And in Luke 1, we're going to read verse 26. Luke 1, 26 to 28. And this is about Mary. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, how will this be? I am a virgin. The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and is in the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. First of all, and I'm speaking kind of to the mothers this morning because it's Mother's Day, but we can all learn from this as well. But first of all, completely submitted to God's will. Mary's response was, I am a servant, let it be so. I'm sure Mary had questions, just like any of us would have had. Was she nervous? Certainly. Was she unsure of her abilities? Who wouldn't be? Was she anxious about the prophecy her future would include? Pain? Of course she was. If you think back to, or just a little bit ahead in Luke 2, where they took the child to the temple, and Simeon blessed the child, and he told Mary that there would be an arrow that pierced her heart also. Mary pondered those things in her heart, but was she anxious about those? Of course she was. Mary was like any mother, caring for her sick child, or sitting up, waiting for her child to come home. Or maybe today, spending half a day in the ER suddenly, or in the urgent care. Mary was the same type of person. She went through this. She had the same anxieties as we have. She was like any parent who wanted only the best for her child. But one thing, Mary was so committed to God that while being a mom, she also walked by her son, and she was the one person that got to see God's whole plan from start to finish, including the sending of the Spirit after Jesus ascended. She birthed the Son of God. She watched him die on the cross, and she also saw him ascend into heaven, and then was there when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. A mother called by God completely submits to God's will. The second one, a mother called by God does not have to be perfect and won't be perfect. Probably all of us have heard comments like, at some time or another, what a bad mom I am, or what kind of mom would do something like that, or even comments that reflect of not being a good mom. But everyone has made mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. And I didn't have this one in my notes, but I was reading about this one this morning, and even Mary, the mother of Jesus, if you go to I believe it was in Mark 3, when she came along with Jesus' brothers, and they came to get Jesus, and he was inside, they couldn't get to him, and they went in and told Jesus that your mom and your brothers are outside wanting to speak to him. And that's when Jesus referred and said, who are my mother or who is my brothers? And if you read at the beginning of that chapter, it talks about it at the beginning of that chapter that Jesus has having this discussion going, and it says that they thought he was, I forget the wording that it says, but in the ESV, I think it says something about they thought he was, he lost it. I can't think of the wording it was when I read it this morning, but that's kind of what went through my mind, is that he had lost it, and they came to rescue him, and they were interrupted him, and he just kind of referred it off. And one of those times that, you know, sometimes we look at what looks right in our eyes, or what sometimes we get kind of get in the way. The other one I want to look at this morning, if you'll turn to Genesis 27, verse 1 to 30. And this is a story of Rebekah and Isaac, and I'm not going to read the whole story. I want to read just a little bit in chapter 27. And I'm sorry, chapter 25 is where I wanted to start, because I wanted to set the chapter 25, verse 19. Let's go to verse 20. Now, Isaac had, I'm not going to read the whole story about Isaac getting his wife Rebekah, but so Isaac and Rebekah were married, and Rebekah was barren. She didn't have any children. And in verse 21, it says, and Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted the prayer, and Rebekah conceived. And the children struggled within her, and she said, if this is such, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. I wanted to read that part so it kind of sets our mind. So Rebekah had went and inquired of the Lord, and so she knew before these children were already born that Jacob was going to be in charge. Esau was going to serve Jacob. And now if you'll flip over to chapter 27, in verse 19, and this is where, so now there's been quite a few years gone by here, and Isaac is old, and he called for Esau, and told Esau to go out and hunt. Okay, I was just looking to see. I wasn't sure what for I had put that verse in there. So yes, Esau went out to hunt and to collect food, or to collect so he would get his blessing. And he's already sold his birthright to Jacob, and now Esau's out hunting. And Rebekah told Jacob to go and kill a goat, and told him how to prepare, or how to dress, and how to take it. And so then he went into his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Now sit up and eat my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. So Jacob went to Isaac his father, and he felt him, and the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, are you really my son Esau? He answered, I am. Then he said, bring it near me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled and the smell of the garments, and blessed him, and said, see the smell of my son, it is the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven, and the fat of the earth, and the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. And we know the rest of the story there. But Rebecca, now if you remember back when we read, Rebecca knew by the time they were already born that Jacob was supposed to be in charge. How many times we know or we think or have a good feeling of what's supposed to happen, and so sometimes things just aren't happening, we run ahead, and we see that back even before that, and even some of these before Isaac and Rebecca. Sometimes we think God might need a little help, and so we'll help it get there. And Rebecca, God could have done it and made it work out. We don't know how it would have worked out. But one thing we know, and sometimes it's hard to think or how to get this in our mind, but how God understands, God knows everything that I'm going to do. He knows from the time I was born to the time I die, the decisions I'm going to make. God knows everything I'm going to do. He knows those decisions, and so He can plan into those. He plans for those decisions. So He knows that I'm going to mess up. He knows the next time I'm going to make a mistake, and then the next one I'm going to make a mistake. And He has those already planned into my life. We're all going to make mistakes. The important thing is how fast I admit it and let God take back control. Through it all, mistakes and everything, God loves us, God will work with us, and God accepts us. And through it all, to your mothers, your task of mothering will be accomplished. The next one, a mother called by God never relinquishes a title. Luke 2:35, and I referred to this earlier where Simeon said, it's in Luke 2:35, it says, a sword will pierce through your soul. And in John 19, finds Mary at the cross when Jesus is being crucified. Yet Mary walked with Jesus throughout His whole ministry, and the whole time, clear to the death of her son, she was right there. 1 Samuel 2:18 and 19 finds Hannah yearly at the temple. When Hannah didn't have a child, and she asked God for a child and said, if you give me a child, I will give the child back to you. And at a very young age, she trusted, she took Samuel to the temple to live with Eli and raise. Now she would have had the same fears if you looked at Eli's sons. Eli's sons were not living good lives. Eli's sons were doing evil. She could have said, well, goodness, he's going to raise up among that. What's he going to turn out like? And yet she took him to the temple, just as she said, and it says yearly she came, brought him clothes. She came yearly to the temple to worship, and to came and she saw her son. You find mothers just like this in the halls of the hospital, in funeral homes, counselor's office. Even if the child is rebellious, harsh, or cruel, mothers called by God don't relinquish the title. Her heart just doesn't let it happen. As I thought of mothers and the love of a mother, I said that's probably about the closest love of how God loves us, that love that a mother has towards her child. The amount that a mother will put up with from their child sometimes, and yet they continue loving them. There was a comic strip of the children in the family circus discussing babies. One announced, storks don't bring babies, they come from UPS. And then there were different ideas, but the best one was last. It said, babies, said one, are connected to mothers by a biblical cord. I like that one. Connected to your child by the Bible and through God. God has given a connection from a mother to a child that is like nothing else. And even as a child gets older, there's not always that you can be with a child. And the best thing you can do is pray and trust God. God is all powerful. He's all knowing, and He's everywhere. And so as you trust Him with your child, who else would you rather have Him, who else's care would you rather have your child be in than in God's care? This week had something interesting happen. I had listened to a podcast, and it was talking about this, God's power being everywhere. And I was in Greenwood. I was setting buildings, and I had driven down through this street, and it was kind of a section of town where it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, I'm not even 100% comfortable with myself sometimes, maybe. And I had seen somebody walking, and I was like, wow, I don't know if I'd be comfortable, you know, especially as a girl walking out there. And I set the building, and I had a second building going right back straight across the road from it. And as I went back the second time, I noticed this man running, and it was just kind of, it caught my mind as being strange. But I went down past, and I got up the way a little bit further, and there was this girl running, and she was running like she was running from somebody, and she yelled at me, and I opened the window, and I said, "Is something wrong?" And she didn't answer. She just dove in the truck and just said, "Go." And so we took off, and that's all. She's just like, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And then she handed me the phone, and she was on the phone with her mother, and her mother's like, "I'll meet you somewhere. And I was like, she was 20 minutes away, and I said, "Well, I can't drive you 20 minutes, but I will get her to a safe place. I will get her to a public place to where she is safe." Anyhow, come to find out that it was her ex-fiance that there was issues there, and he was chasing after her. So, but you know, as I talked to her mother, she's just like, "Thank you." She's like, "God bless you. God bless you for picking her up." And I said, "You know, this is where she'll be at, and you can, you know," and everything was okay. But you know, as I was studying this, and I looked at this, and I said, you know, as a Christian, and we pray, and I don't know if she was, it was kind of crazy because it was like 2 miles. So by the time I got off the phone with her, I had already dropped the girl off at the place, and I have. That's all I talked to the mother. That's all I talked to the girl. So I really don't know hardly anything about them, other than I made sure that she was sitting inside the McDonald's as I drove out again. But was her mom a praying mother? I don't know. But that's the kind of God we have. When we pray, we can't always be there. But when we pray, God can take care of it. And then on the flip side, for each one of us, on the flip side of that is when we're through our day, as we go along through life, are we heeding God's call? Are we listening? Because we may be that person that He needs on the other end of that prayer to help. So it's just a challenge to us, like Mary, quick to answer the call and say, "Here I am." God is powerful, He's all-knowing, and He's everywhere. So, this Mother's Day, may God bless each one of you. As you go through this week, love those in your care. Pray often for those that God has entrusted to you. And trust God. He's strong enough and big enough, and He can take care of everything. All right. Calvin, do you have a song? 461. All right. 461, the Faith and Praise. When you have it, you can stand. All right, let's pray. God, thank you this morning for your love. God, I thank you for each one of the mothers here today. Thank you for mothers, for their love that you have put in them, as they love their children, as they teach their children, the patience you give them. God, I thank you for that. And God, I thank you for that we can trust you as children grow older, and actually all through life, we can trust you and ask you and know that you are God and you care and that you are in control. And so, God, we can trust it into your hands. God, I just pray that you would be with each one this week as we go through the week. Pray that you would help us to be ever ready and to respond to your call wherever and however you call us. And God, I just thank you again today for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.